Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. We lift up your holy name, Yeshua. Holy Spirit, come and have your way today in us and through us. Help me to share this message that you've put on my heart in love. Help me to share the Father's heart today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. May all the honor and glory go to you. May this message point people to you in a deeper relationship with you, Lord Yeshua. May it encourage them to walk in your ways, to walk in love, and fulfill their kingdom mandate. May your Father's heart beat in us today. And as we leave from this place later, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We come to sit at your feet and learn. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Dear ones, I want to welcome you to Lots of Love Ministries. We are so glad you are here. Today, I think, will be a sobering yet encouraging message. At least that is my prayer. You know, I woke up this morning and checked my Facebook to discover a message written by Michael Brown, who had a Bible school in Pensacola during the Brownsville Revival. How many of you have heard of or remember the Brownsville Revival? I know I do. I was there. And it was an amazing time. It was, the presence of the Lord was strong there. Many people were saved, delivered, set free, healed. It was an awesome time. Power of God was strong in the place. I follow Michael on Facebook. You know, but I rarely see his posts. The post that appeared at the top of my feed today goes along with what the Lord has been stirring in my heart the past couple of days to share with you. For me, that was a confirmation that this is what the Lord wanted me to share, because I don't get his messages very often. And for that message to show up today was just providential, in my opinion. So I'm going to share this message. And one of the things he talked about is self-righteousness. You know, self-righteousness is defined as being convinced of one's own righteousness, especially in contrast with the actions and beliefs of others. Having or characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded one, that one is totally correct or morally superior. This is a season where the Lord is purifying his church. 1 Peter 4:17 tells us, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" You know, judgment is ugly and painful to see. Those leaders who have not repented are and will continue to be exposed. So in this season, I encourage you to put your eyes on the Lord, Yeshua, not man, lest you be discouraged and fall away. Man will fail. God will not. Yeshua is perfect in all his ways, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And man may, but we can't trust in man. We have to trust in the Lord. Amen? Humility is crucial to our survival. We should search ourselves, because sexual sin is not the only sin in the church. Self-righteousness and pride are more prevalent in the church than sexual sins. Did you hear that? Self-righteousness and pride are more prevalent in the church than sexual sins. And because pride goes before a downfall, this is the time to get low. Walk in humility. This is a time to say, like David in Psalms 139:23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We must search our own hearts. If we judge ourselves, then we won't be judged. So the Bible says too. Let's examine our hearts and ask God to examine our hearts. You know, power of death and life are in the tongue. It says so in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Have you experienced the outpouring of the Lord, like at Brownsville, Toronto, or other places? Then maybe we should be willing to cry out to Yahweh like Isaiah, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Unclean lips reveal unclean hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The saying, that means the words we speak, are a reflection of what is truly in our hearts. The saying is found in Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45. What Yeshua was saying to the Pharisees and to us is that our words are not just about the words we say, but the thoughts, emotions, and beliefs that we carry within us. When we prophesy, we should be sharing the Father's heart. As followers of Christ, it makes sense that what is in our hearts should resemble what is in God's heart. With that in mind, I want to challenge you today to examine what is in your heart and see if it is reflecting the Father's heart. When we prophesy, our words should reflect the Father's heart for that person, or that church, or that nation. Whenever Old Testament prophets spoke about judgment, it was always in the context of a call to repent and return to the Lord. They always spoke about the desire of Yahweh to restore and bless his people. What manner of spirit are you? Luke 9:51-56 shares this incident. "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." So what is the Father's heart? You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord came to bring life and life to the full. John 10:10 tells us, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What words are you speaking? Are you cursing America by prophesying her downfall? By prophesying judgment? You know, the cross was prophesied by the Almighty in Genesis 3. When he told the serpent, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeshua, while on that cross, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are told in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As prophets, or even as Christians prophesying or speaking to others, our tongue should be speaking life, not death. Yes, there is evil in the world. Yes, God judges the wicked. But what is the Father's heart? To seek and save. To bless, not curse. When the Almighty was declaring the law to the Israelites, he outlined the blessing and the curse. He explained that if they obeyed and kept his commandments, they would be blessed in every area of their lives. He described what the blessing looks like in detail. He then explained that if they did not keep his commandments, they would be cursed, and described in detail what the curse looks like. He then gave them a choice: choose blessing or cursing, life or death. Then he pleaded with them, choose life. Please choose life. It is the Father's heart that we choose the blessing and life. As the people of the Lord, we also should have a heart to plead with people to choose life and blessing. As part of your self-examination, read about the details of the blessing and curse. Are you totally blessed in every area of your life as described in Deuteronomy 28? I encourage you to read and study Deuteronomy 28 through 30 under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is truly the Father's desire to bless and prosper you, to bless and prosper your family and your church and even your country, whether there's righteous leaders or wicked leaders. God wants to bless your country. He wants to bless you and everyone there. If you are one that has been speaking death, judgment, and curses over those you see as wicked, then I implore you to repent and examine yourself. You are no better than they are. I am no better than they are. Sin is sin, and we all deserve judgment. As Brother Michael reminded us in his message on Facebook, this is a time for self-reflection, for humility, for getting low. Woe to those who exalt themselves at this time. The fact is that God could damn some of us to hell just for our posts on social media. Our defaming, mocking, slanderous, nasty, judgmental posts. Posts which stand side by side with our lovely gospel posts. He exhorts us to be careful. That's why Paul, after warning the Corinthians to learn from the lessons of God's judgments on Israel, said, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Judgment begins with the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? This is found in 1 Peter 4:17 through 18. Did you get that part about it is hard for the righteous to be saved? Depending on the version of the Bible you read, 1 Peter 4:18 tells us that the righteous are barely saved or scarcely saved, or it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved. And it says in 2 Corinthians 2:9, for to this end I also wrote, so that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Yeshua exhorted us in Matthew 7:13 to 14 to enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And he warned in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. I say along with Brother Michael Brown, yes, the righteous, those who love the Lord, those who lead godly lives, those who seek to honor and obey him, even they are barely saved. Let us then get low, ask God to cleanse us and purge us and make us like his son, granting us true and deep repentance where we have fallen short. His mercy is overwhelming and his redemptive power amazing, but he does not wink at sin, and he lulls a self-righteous judgmental spirit. Our mouth should be blessing, not cursing, calling for repentance and mercy, not judgment. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I know I need mercy. Don't you need mercy? Do you want mercy? Then speak mercy. Give mercy. Do not judge, lest you are judged. Because with the same judgment that you mete out, you will receive unto yourself. This is a sobering message. Oh, dear ones, listen. We want to be merciful. Love covers a multitude of sin. God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us. The blood of Yeshua not only covers, but washes away our sin. 1 Peter 4:8 tells us to, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, covers does not mean condones. It means that we don't gossip about the failures of others. We don't declare judgment over them. Even a nation, it's not our job to judge, but to love. Love does not speak death or curses over people or nations. Love will not discourage people from knowing and serving the Lord by holding them in a place of failure. Love believes the best. Love builds up. It's a good time to remember 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter. If I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions to charity, and if I surrender my body so that I may glory, but do not have love, it does me no good. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. It does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in the unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And for those who think they can prophesy, maybe you seen angels, had a vision, dreams. Listen to the rest of this chapter. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been known fully. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Dear ones, we only know in part. Each of us has a piece, or only a few pieces at most, of the puzzle, the bigger picture of God's character, ways, and plan. We just know a little bit. How can we camp out on that little bit and despise the piece that someone else has? We should want more pieces so we have a greater understanding, that we can grow in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't be arrogant in your piece. Don't think your piece is the whole piece. It is not. Trust me, it's not. Be willing to listen. Let us this knowledge encourage us to walk in humility, sharing what we have also in love with others. But here is a little piece of wisdom. Only share with those who want it. Some are not ready for what you have. Others are swine. And we are exhorted in Scripture to not cast our pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you. Also, have an open heart and mind to the Spirit. Some of the truths we have been taught are not. Found through the history of the church, Scripture has been taken out of context or twisted to fit belief systems that aren't really biblical at all. Traditions of man and mixture have crept into the church. That is why I always exhort you to be like a Berean and search the Scriptures to see if what you are hearing is true. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm hearing the Lord say to go back to the one point that some are swine, and we are exhorted in Scripture to not cast our pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend. Look at yourself as well. The Lord wants me to say, are you turning and rending others when they try to share their pearls with you? Have you become a swine? Repent. Receive in humility what others have. God has not given you 100% of the truth. You know in part. I know in part. We must be willing to listen to others and not cast our pearls before swine or become swine ourselves, turning and rending others who have understanding and truth that we have not yet received. We want to speak the truth in love and receive the truth in love and be like a Berean. Search the Scriptures. If someone says to you something that you have never heard before or contradicts what you believe, don't rend them. Don't attack them. Search the Scriptures and see if what they are saying is not true. Maybe you have a misunderstanding. Maybe you have been taught in error. Be willing to correct error. Like I said before, down through the history, a lot of Scripture has been taken out of context or twisted to mean what they don't mean. They have created doctrines and traditions of man that are really not biblical at all. So we must be like a Berean and study to show ourselves approved. We must be able to connect the dots correctly under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I always tell you that if you have questions or comments, email me at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Come, let us reason together with the Holy Spirit as our guided teacher. Amen? Let's continue. It is also the Father's heart that we walk in faith. destroying the works of the enemy as we advance the kingdom in the earth. It is the Great Commission, our kingdom mandate. We are not to have an escapist mentality, looking fearfully for the rapture, moaning about the evil in the world or how corrupt our nation has become. Our focus should be on fulfilling our kingdom mandate, not going to heaven. While that is the blessed hope of our salvation, Yeshua taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He did not tell us to pray, "Lord, help me to hold on until the rapture comes and take me to heaven." Or, "Lord, there's so much evil here. Can you just come and take me to heaven?" These prayers are not the Father's heart. That's not what God wants us to be praying. He will come when he comes. That's true. But let's be about the Father's business in the meantime. He didn't teach the disciples to live a life looking for his return without first doing the greater works. There's greater works than his in the earth. We're not going to do those works in heaven. We're going to do them here on earth. His mandate was to make disciples of all nations, according to Matthew 28:18-20. And he told us in John 14:12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father." It is his desire for us to do the greater works, to make disciples, and to teach them the ways of the Lord, and to advance the kingdom in the earth while destroying the works of the enemy. It is my genuine belief that we are to walk in love and be about the Father's business in the earth, with a focus on destroying the works of the enemy in our sphere of influence through the authority in both heaven and on earth that has been given to Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua means in his authority. We heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons, and destroy all the works of the enemy, as Yeshua taught us by example to do in his authority. Amen? However, all that we do must be done in and out of love for the glory of our Lord and Savior Yeshua, not to build a name for ourselves or earn our place in heaven. In all we say and do, we must point people to Yeshua and bring honor and glory to his name. Amen? So I hope this message has encouraged you to examine your hearts to see if you're in the faith. Examine your hearts to see if your heart is in alignment with the Father's heart. His heart is a heart of love. He is love. The Bible tells us God is love. And all that we say and do must be in and out of love. I don't think that it's very loving to curse our country or curse people because they have sin. If our messages are not to encourage people to repent and return to the Lord, it's not lifting up and glorifying the Father, then we are on the wrong track. We are speaking death, not life. Yes, the rapture is true. Yes, Jesus is coming back. And we've been told for many years he's coming back soon. But what is soon? You know, we've been told that for 2,000 plus years, Jesus is coming back soon. So what is soon? Personally, I don't believe it's going to be in the next 10 years. It may not even be in the next 20 years. Soon to God is a relative term. You know, God who's eternal. What is 2,000 years to God in terms of soon? It could be another 2,000 years. We cannot discourage people from fulfilling their kingdom mandate in the earth by encouraging them to focus on the rapture. On, well, Jesus is coming back soon, so just be ready so that you can go. Our job is not to be ready so we can go. Our job is to know our God and advance his kingdom in the earth. Don't you know we're going to rule and reign with him on the earth? Heaven's just a temporary place while God deals with the wickedness here in the earth. during the Great Tribulation. I don't believe we're going to be here during the Great Tribulation, but I do believe that we may be here during some of it, because we are exhorted not to take the mark of the beast. The Antichrist is going to come up, and he's going to have authority to and power to overcome the saints for a time, for a short season, short season. So the church is going to be here during that. And yes, we must be ready. But if we focus on the Lord and be about his business, advancing the kingdom of the earth, destroying the works of the enemy in our sphere of influence, obeying all that he commands us to do, training our ear to hear what Spirit is saying to us, and training ourselves to quickly obey, then it doesn't matter when he comes. We will be ready. We do look for him in his return. But like in the lesson of the foolish and wise virgins, the wise ones had their lamps full while they waited. What does that mean? The foolish ones had to go out and buy oil. And while they were out buying, the Lord came and they were not allowed to enter. We want to be a wise virgin. We want to have our lamps full of the Holy Ghost, full of the oil. And when our lamps are full, we are fulfilling our kingdom mandate. Amen. So be encouraged. Walk in humility. Walk in love. Speak the heart of the Father, which is to repent, which is to walk in love. Search the scriptures for yourself. Learn what the Father's heart is. It is not his heart to judge. He didn't come to judge. He came to seek and save. Amen? That's what Yeshua is all about. Seeking and saving those who are lost. Amen? Well, I believe that's all that the Lord has me to say now. So I'm going to close with this blessing. I pray that you may know with all the saints what is the height, the depth, breadth, and how deep Father's heart and love. I pray that you would know Yeshua in a very new and personal way this week, that he would reveal himself to you in a new and special way to this week, that way that will encourage you to walk in the fear of the Lord in humility and be a blessing and an encouragement to others. In the name of Yeshua, shalom in your home. Until next time.